This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. I'm Judy Liebrack. So would you love to get the opportunities that you deserve and that you want? Do you want to find new ways to open doors in your career like never before, grow your business, and allow your work to make the biggest impact in the world? Well, according to acclaimed speaker, strategic advisor, journalist, visibility researcher, and now author, Lisa Bragg, if you want to achieve remarkable results, it's up to you to talk about your successes and accomplishments, and she can help you do this. In her incredible book, Bragging Rights, here it is, Lisa Bragg shows us why so many people are afraid to speak up about their work, and she illuminates why bragging is really a catalyst for positive change. Her book will help you understand and tell the world about your true superpowers so that you can access new opportunities and I love this part, elevate others at the same time. As she puts it, too often, talented artists, professionals, and organizations assume their work will speak for itself only to find themselves overlooked. Lisa Bragg helps individuals, leaders, businesses, and high achievers navigate today's noisy, competitive world by showing them how to amplify their success and increase their influence. As a former broadcast journalist, Lisa built a career telling other people's stories, but saw too many brilliant individuals and teams struggle to gain the recognition that they really deserved. Determined to change the narrative, she founded MediaFace, a content and digital storytelling company. Lisa's company became one of Canada's fastest growing businesses, named to the Growth 500 list twice, and it helped major organizations showcase their expertise and become trusted industry authorities. Lisa is also the author of Bragging Rights, How to Talk About Your Work Using Purposeful Self-Promotion, a book that blends cutting-edge research with practical strategies to help professionals and organizations claim the recognition they deserve. Offstage, she's a proud mom to a 15-year-old daughter and lives in Toronto with her entrepreneur husband and 95-pound dog, well, and two mischievous cats. Lisa Bragg, welcome to Finding Your Bliss and congrats on your fabulous book.
Thank you. We all need a Judy to come along with us and read off all the great things so that we can say, oh yeah, I'm here. Yes, let's do this. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Great to have you here. Lisa, as mentioned in the virtual green room off the top, I love your background and that you started out as a TV news reporter. And I also love how you write about that time that you met Justin Bieber when you were a TV reporter. And as you write, and I quote, I met the future megastar and a few of his friends on a street in his hometown of Stratford, Ontario, Canada. And Bieber evidently told you about his YouTube fame and then sang for you. Wow. And you went back and pitched the story with all your might to your CHCH news assignment manager, insisting that you had to do a story on this boy who was racking up followers on YouTube with that incredible voice. And the answer from the news station was a resounding no. But you intrinsically sensed this was a great story. You're a journalist and you knew it. And soon after, you quit news to start a content company of your own. What was your lightning moment? And can you say more about just this major pivot that you had early on in your career?
You know, we kept hearing about YouTube. Again, it was 2007 for those of us that remember, which seems just like yesterday and yet so long ago because we didn't have all this technology at our fingertips. And I was trained to be a writer, editor, video editor, a podcast editor back in the day, videotape people. So I was a videographer. So I'd have my big, huge camera on my shoulder and my microphone, and I'd go up to people. And I realized through Justin Bieber that the gatekeepers are changing. And so before, it was really the news, the assignment editors, those managers that would say who got to go on TV and who didn't. And when you're on TV, on these kind of opportunities, the exposure helps propel you into new things. And so Justin really showed me that he wasn't waiting for the gatekeepers. Yes, the gatekeepers did find him in the end, and you know, they are changing all the time, but people found him. He put himself out there to be seen in all of these new ways that are at our fingertips right now. And so that was a big aha moment. What am I waiting for? Like, what am I waiting for? More people need to tell their stories. How can I help them out in a more dynamic way? And so it was quite a lightning moment for me to do that. And he did sign an autograph because we were being really cheesy. And I cannot for the life of me find it. I looked through all my books, but you know, it would have been one of the first. So.
It's so funny you say that because I have a Bob Hope autograph, which is from a whole other era completely. But I'm dying to find that. It's in a birthday card. And I've had the same thing. Lisa, as I read your book, I felt that our messages were really aligned. And one of the things that you say right off the top is that the world needs you. You're saying this to the reader. Quote, we need your spark for the full-on fireworks you can bring, or that little combustion you can deliver to that one person in your community or across the globe to help them soar. You have more to offer than you know. I just love this. Can you elaborate on that?
You know, just you reading it back to me just gives me that oomph that we need to have that cheerleader in our heads. I think to so many books, it's that people are coming from a place of less than. The people that I talk to so often, they have so much. They just now need to liberate themselves to tell their truth, to be of service to the world, and let that then elevate them faster than work harder or do another certificate or whatever it is that more that we need to liberate yourself to be seen and be heard. And it's a tall order that I ask, but it's just that if you can just do something that will then light somebody else up, that how will just transform your community, yourself, your community, and maybe the world. Wouldn't we love that? I think that'd be pretty awesome.
It's so interesting. It's almost like an oxymoron because you have this word bragging, which of course has many meanings in many cultures and countries. And you talk about that in the book, and it doesn't mean what we think it means necessarily. And yet what's interesting is diametrically opposed to what we think of bragging. Part of it is being outward focused and shining a light on others and giving back and writing those reviews, as you say, and doing all those lovely things. It's sort of, I'd love to just talk about this whole idea about bragging. Because you say in the book that the goal isn't to fix people. As you write, you're already awesome. You're meant to shine. You say, my mission is to help you be seen and heard so that you get the opportunities that you deserve. Can you tell us a little bit more about your brainchild and inspiration for your book, Bragging Rights? And then maybe we can just talk about that whole word, bragging, and how it means more than we think.
Well, first of all, my last name is Bragg. So I have a deeper connection to it than what most people would think. And that was been my name for my whole life. So yes, I was teased as a teenager about it. And I realized as a teenager that my success bothered other people. And so when you talk about success, when they see that you get the honor roll, when they see they get that opportunity, it bothers other people. But why? Yes. And so I realized, I better stop talking about my successes. And that was really... Now that I look back, the red thread, that's interesting to what came from all of this. But when I started thinking about writing a book, I really wanted to know, what did brag really mean? And so I did research to go back. I went back to 1325, I think it is, and found the word brag. And it meant proud and spirited and brave and not this negative, boastful, who do you think you are kind of thing that it does today, which today it means to talk about one's success with pride. And the reframe that I give people is that pride also means justified self-love. And so that's where we give ourselves that pat on the back for it's justified self-love. You're not making this stuff up. And it's also not self-aggrandizement. And that's where we have, Judy, that feeling of that, oh, she thinks she's better than me, or that puffery, that ickiness. That's the word, that's the issue, self-aggrandizement. But bragging, you know, we have bragging rights. People want that. It's actually a good word. So I'm trying to liberate it.
I love that you're redefining the word for people that's been commodified. You're redefining it to mean what it maybe used to mean and to remove the taboo around it. Because there is a taboo. And I think what you're saying in the book is it's more about confidence, walking into the room with confidence and staking your claims. And is confidence a big part of this bragging, this new version of the word?
Well, you know, I feel that confidence is elusive for people nowadays. So what I ask people to have is courage. Courage to take one step, to take another step, another step. Oh, I feel confident. Oh, you know what, Judy? I'm going to just jump to that next thing I want to do, that next goal, the next promotion, the next stage. And then we start all over again. So while I hope it gives people confidence, I don't want them to wait for confidence, because I think a lot of us wait as hidden gems to feel confident. And for people who are just listening, I'm doing the, you know, the big guns kind of thing, like really strong position, because we wait till we feel this super strength. And I want to be honest with people, you're not going to feel that, because you're always going to keep trying to do something else. And that's the era we live in, which is not the era that, you know, our grandparents or parents and great-grandparents grew up in. They grew up doing the same, pretty much the same thing, right? So, so it's a different time.
You say that what should be the easiest thing, talking about our work, like what we do, like all day long, is one of the hardest acts. Why is that?
Well, a lot of us were taught, put your head down, do good work, and eventually someone will notice you. So we've been taught to give away our power of talking about our work. I think so many of us are taught that, you know, if your work were good, it would speak for itself. Like all those kind of things start to weigh us down. And so we don't talk about our work. We expect our work to speak for itself. And then it doesn't. And then we think we're not good enough. So then we do more work and then we burn out. And so it's a cycle. But a lot of us are taught, just don't talk about your successes. It's up to somebody else to do that.
To notice.
To notice it. And that's just not the reality.
You have to know, like I always say, for me, it's teaching people about bliss. And a lot of people say, I don't know what my bliss is. I don't know what my passion, purpose, and calling and dharma are, or my bliss, as it were. And I say, you do know. You just don't know the right questions to ask. And I do. And I think that you know what questions to ask to help people know how to talk about their work and what they do. And you did do an extensive amount of research for this book. And you challenged the whole ideology of bragging. What was one of the most surprising or interesting things you learned in your research about what bragging really means in a positive way?
Wow, I learned so much from the research. It was one of the things I really wanted to do once I found out that the other research that had been done in the past had been mostly done on American university students. So small cohorts of people, like 20, 23 people in a group, and they were 20 to 23 year olds. Like it was just unbelievable, but that all these international business periodicals were basing, saying, don't brag, don't do this, don't do that, based on these small cohorts of people, or even telling them people how to do these things, how to self-promote. So I wanted to do this research and really connect with people internationally. So the one surprising thing is that, like, I thought it was maybe a white Canadian girl's problem, and it wasn't. It's all over the world in 23 countries and 400 something people now. So it's a substantial research survey. And I found that everyone thinks it's just their culture, but that it's something that appears everywhere. I was in line at a conference, and this beautiful woman, so well coiffed, you know, she was in her 60s and on all the boards and had done all the things. And she was telling me her story. And she turned to me so graciously and said, "So Lisa, what are you working on?" And I was like, "Oh, okay, do I say it?" And I said, "Well, I don't think this is for you, but..." You know how we're told, put your head down, do good work, and eventually someone will notice you? I want to write about that. And she said to me, "Lisa, I'm Catholic. Of course this is for me." I'm like, and she was, you know, I missed the part that she's a New Yorker. So we think that people from New York, the US, can just brag with abandon, and they can't. So it's interesting to see that we have these assumptions about people worldwide. And of course, it's deeper than that. We're all at different intersectionalities of our lives. And so it's about an individual experience when we talk about bragging and self-promotion.
I love the way you've laid out the book. You divide the book into two parts. In part one, you help people uncover why we're hidden gems. And in part two, you explore actionable steps that will support people's bragging, or let's call it self-promotion efforts, so they can increase their social currency while also learning the mistakes and the pitfalls to avoid. And I love the way you end each chapter with three types of actions so that you can keep moving the work forward. Can you say more about this and how it all works? So it really is like a workbook. Like you read it, but you do those exercises and they're fabulous. I just think it's so great for actors, for artists, for business people, for all people of all ages.
Thank you. I just didn't want it to be a book that people would just say, "Oh, wasn't that nice?" Like I do a lot of keynotes. So those are the big ideas. But then I also love doing workshops where we actually do something and get something done. So that's where it's like an activation. Like, I want you to have these great ideas and feel it in your embodiment that you can do it. But then I want us to actually do some of it, because life gets so busy, we don't take time to reflect. I really felt it was important for us to reflect, to do something, and then also to share this experience with other people, because it's not a me thing. It's how I am of service, and then also how I can cheer and champion others. Like, that's how it comes together. And that's the way to make it all feel less icky, because that was another thing that came out of the research survey, is that people felt that it was icky. And that was the word used over and over and over again. Icky.
Now, you took, I don't know how you culled all of this information that's in this book, that's a very substantial book, into a 1 minute TED talk, but you did. And I'm wondering, what were the salient parts of that 1 minute TED talk? And how hard was that to take all of this and put it into such, into a 60 second speech on a red dot on the stage?
Yeah. So it was at TED Women, and it was 2021, I guess. And they said, the whole theme of the conference was what's next. And so they asked people to say, come up with something really short to tell us what's next. And so, and I said to the audience, like, it's nice that we cheer each other on. It's nice that we talk about it and we're so excited when we're in the moment. But how are we going to cheer and champion each other moving forward?
Nice.
And that was the essence of what it was, is that we need to help more people to be seen and be heard. And the audience there, they're all in the power positions to help other people be seen and be heard. Because we hear an idea, and isn't that nice? We don't actually support and move it forward. And then I talked about bragging a little bit, but then I had so many people come up to me and say, Lisa, there's something more to this. And that's where it really got me going into saying, okay, I do have to write a book about this and essentially do my commercial PhD in understanding why we are, so many of us are hidden gems, why we are fearful of bragging and self-promotion. And what does it look like to go to the other side and to be seen and be heard and get the opportunities that we should get? And we already deserve them and we desire them. So why aren't we getting them?
I think part of the catalyst as well, right? Like, it got you going and thinking, I've got to make this into a book because there's so much more. And even something that you said reminded me of a part in your book where you talk about, it's really about collaboration. It's about cooperation. It's not about competition, which unfortunately was always the way. Like, even Jeannie Becker, who's been on the show many times, has said to me, when she started out in her career, there was a lot of competition. Women were not helping women. Now we are, thank goodness. Colleen Moorhead, who you thank in your acknowledgements, along with Erica and Leslie, which is so funny because Erica's been on this show 5 or 6 times, like quite into many, many times. She's one of our favorite guests on the show. Leslie's been on the show. But then I saw this name, Colleen Moorhead, who's written for our magazine. You know, she was a championer of women. But in the olden days, this did not occur, right? Like, this was just not a thing. That and now this is a big part of your book, that we must collaborate and work together. The key word is collaboration, right?
Yeah, collaboration over competition, because that pie is, you know, it can grow. It's interesting now too. It's easy to say that when we have abundance, but if we're going into a scarcity mindset, a scarcity market, will people carry that forward? So I'm always interested to see how people will cheer and champion each other on as we go forward. But I did see Erica. She's always a cheerleader. She challenged me on the name of my book because it was going to be Smart Self-Promotion. And she said, no, Lisa, that's not the word at all. And so that's where Purposeful came up. And then Colleen Moorhead, a great champion of so many women with her Judy Project. Just fabulous. So I went to an event where she was talking about the Judy Project. And that was a download for me saying, there's something for me in this. And so this book is an offshoot of her Judy Project inspiration. Again, hey, her spark, by putting it out there, by telling Judy's story, I definitely recommend you find out about the Judy Project, but finding out about that story, all the compilation of stories that amazing business people in Ontario, in Canada have written, she edited them and brought them to the world. Her sharing that spark then gave me the spark to then build. And we do that for each other. And hopefully we're lighting off some fireworks today, Judy.
Oh, 100%. I've had so many, my mind has been like a cylinder, like, you know, it's just so many ideas sparking, just preparing this interview, reading your book, talking to you now. It's so great. And I love this. You have this great suggestion in the book. You write, so here's an easy win. You can start easing into bragging by sending me a note, either by direct messaging or public posting, that describes something that you've accomplished. It can be something significant or inconsequential, as long as it makes you proud. Can you speak to how this is an easy win for people?
You know what? I love it because sometimes we have to tiptoe into things. And if I can just say, here's what I'm thinking of a brag, what do you think? And then it's like, just you've done it once, and then you're going to do it again and again and again. I love it when people send me things. And so many times it's like, why are you afraid of this? But to them, it's a big deal. And so just to release it and have somebody then say, I've caught it, I'm cheering you on, just then allows them to say, well, now I'm going to do it with somebody that is close to me, that might be a harder audience, and we keep going with it. And so it's baby steps into practicing how to brag and self-promote, because we're so afraid of being that person that just has a laundry list of all their successes that just makes us feel awkward. But then we don't even come to the arena at all. And so we need to step into the arena and share, because as I frame it in everything I do, it's being of service, because otherwise they're going to go to that mediocre person down the hall and not to you. And that's not good for you and your bottom line, but it's also not good for them, because you're probably the best person for them. And so that's where we need to brag and self-promote. But it's just really, I want to be that one person that they can say, somebody has accepted this, read it, and then I can actually move on with it. So those, I cherish each and every one of those when people are brave enough to write and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking. What do you think? And then we have a dialogue. It's amazing.
You're giving people permission. So I'm going to tell all of you that are listening to do this, to write, you know, write to the author, Lisa, of this book, write to us at Find Your Bliss and tell us something that you're so proud of and that you've accomplished. And what a wonderful movement that you're starting. And you even have a suggestion to start a brag book. Can you tell us more about how we can do this and what the value and the impact of doing this is? Don't answer that just yet, Lisa. We're going to go on a short commercial break. When we come back, Lisa Bragg will tell us about the Bragg book and why it's a great idea to start one. We'll be right back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We're back, and this is Find Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio. And right before the break, I asked Lisa Bragg why it's a great idea to start your very own brag book.
Yeah, a brag book. It's one of those things that I don't want to add to your list, and it's not journaling. But what I really want us to do is start to collect it. Like, you might call it a smile file. There's lots of different names for it, but start to collect those thank yous along the way. Start to collect those things that maybe nobody noticed, but for you, it was a huge hurdle. It was a moment of bravery. Write it down. Collect all of those things, those kudos that you didn't get, those, hey, that high five that you did get, collect them. And if you are employed, make sure you also collect them what you can off the corporate server so that you have them just in case anything ever happens. But you have them, and then you can look back and say, there's a red thread to my life and there's something to this. It's also a gift. If you're a leader, get your team to do it, because it's a gift to you, because I can't remember what I did, ate, thought of yesterday. And so if your teams are coming with you and saying, here's what I think is successful, that's a gift right away, instead of saying, I can't remember what you did. So it's on the person. Really, the book, if you want to strip away everything, it's about self-advocacy, because self-advocacy is something that a lot of us have lost. And so how do I advocate for myself and for what I believe in a strategic way? And it's organizations need it and the individuals need it too. So too many opportunities are lost when people aren't able to talk about their successes.
We have a Friday production meeting and, you know, there's about seven or eight of us on Zoom. And at times there's like someone's been in Australia, someone's been in Montreal, in North Carolina, like we're all over the place and we have a meeting. And I want to try it this Friday at our meeting. What would be the best question to ask? What is it, an accomplishment, however small, however big, that you're so proud of? We want you to brag for us right now and tell us what is. What's the best way to ask the question?
Yeah, you know what? It's whatever the group feels like it, but there is a brag circle exercise in the book. And so what it is just you set it up saying, whatever you feel is success to you, that's what we want to hear. And so it can be something really big or it can be something really small, because big and small is depending on where you are on that day. And it's all different things that we can celebrate, because then we can lean in to each other a little bit more.
I love it. That's so great. I think it's such a lovely, lovely thing. I was also fascinated by the woman you wrote about in the book, Dori Clark, who is not only a best-selling author and regular contributor to the Harvard Business Review, but she's also a professor and she's in a completely different field as a theatrical lyricist. And you talk about how you're not locked into one path. And if you're perceived as good in one area, people will generalize and believe your skills are transferable to another. What a wonderful thought that is. Can you elaborate more on this and why you included Dori Clark in your book?
Yeah. You know, I just thought it was fascinating because we do give, especially when people have success early on, we give them much more of a leeway and say, hey, they must be awesome at other things, because we see them. We can see what they do. They're not a hidden gem. We know that there's something about them. And so we've already trusted them in this area. So they're probably going to be good over here. I think it's why so many celebrities get, you know, so many different opportunities coming to them, because they can see, hey, I'm really good in these areas. I'm probably going to be good at these things too. And so when we can show that we're good in one thing, then people will say, yes, here's an opportunity that you don't even know about, because we live in the future. We don't even know these opportunities exist. You can easily establish from one area to another area if you've done this kind of work.
Totally. So good. I also love all the celebrities, like just from the outset, Justin Bieber's on the first page. And I also love when you talk about Ugly Betty's America Ferrera and how her show was nominated for 11 Emmys in the first year and how she used her success to champion other women. And you write, in the past, those women would have been competing against each other, as we just mentioned, for a seat at the table. Now through self-promotion and bragging rights, they can make their own table and others are coming to it. Can you speak more on this and how bragging allows women to not only support themselves, but other women as well? I love that you mentioned this actress.
Yeah. I also loved her monologue in Barbie, which came out after the book, when everything was locked down. Because I thought there's so many things that inspire us to not only, you know, speak our own truth, but then to help each other along the way. You know, I do have celebrities in the book, but I would love it if our audience too, while we, you know, want to cheer them on, these celebrities, I also want us to make sure that we're cheering each other along, that you make sure that you send Judy a thank you note for her awesome show, and that you, lots of different levels of celebrity, there's celebrities in your organization, I bet too, sending them the kudos, letting other people know about them on all the social media. When you see them post something, cheer and champion them on, because we do give a lot of kudos, time, brain space to these celebrities that have nothing to do with us. Like, I would love to know, hey, Tom Cruise, you know, what are you doing? But why would I continue to support them? They have nothing to do with my direct life. So lately I've been talking to people about making sure that you give that celebrity level treatment to the people in your immediate universe and not just all of those people. Nice. There's so much that we can do for each other. And when you hear these things, like the Barbie message and America's message, let it resonate with you and share it with other people, because it will spark them out.
Share the regular people. Yeah. And don't you say somewhere in the book, try to just think of two people a day, I don't know if it's a week or a day, and just send them a message, a compliment, what you love about them. Like literally, just randomly. It doesn't have to be a whole big beluga, right? It can just be,
hey, I really loved what you did last week. Or, you know, it can't be fake. That's the only thing, because that'll come back to get you in the end, right? It has to be honest. But you're being observant and saying, what is it about this person that I enjoy spending their time? I like being their colleague. What is it that they've done that I can say, hey, this is something, kudos to you for doing this. And it doesn't have to be a big thing. I just noticed this about you. Thanks for doing that. And we can have bragitude too. So brag, it's a brag. So it's something that you want to talk about. And then it's also gratitude. So that's where we can combine it and have even a bigger win. But when we acknowledge people, that's when they start to acknowledge us too. So it's just having a ripple effect of not just having a me game. It's what else is going on in the world that I can cheer and champion other people on. And it's not a lot of work, right? This is a low lift effort. You know, I even find when I compliment somebody on something walking down the street, like you make their day. But when you do that at the supermarket, when you do that at the library, you can make connections. And I think what's really standing out now is that we're humans helping humans. And so totally. When we can be more of a human, that's when even more opportunities are going to come that you don't even realize.
So I've got one for our producer, Chelsea. Yeah. She is one of the most eager people I know. When we first met her, we thought, she's like an angel, this girl. She's like a cherub. Like, she just has a light about her. And she's a hard, hard worker and with always with a smile and the most positive attitude. And I so appreciate it. And it just makes me happy and makes me feel good and elevated. And
so, Chelsea, you're going to make sure you grab the transcript, grab this video, and you're going to repost it and also keep it in your brag file, because this is something that you're going to use in the future. And also on those days that, why am I doing this? What's going on? And it's like, you know what? I'm going to go back to that brag book, that smile file, and say, this is why I do these things, because there are good days ahead again. So totally. Yeah, Judy, it's that so was true. Perfect too. So, yeah.
That was really genuine and from my heart. I could go on even more, but it was how I feel. So thank you for giving me permission to do that. I also love the concept that you talk about at mudita or kvelling, which is the lively enjoyment of someone else's success. And that is so important. It's something that's so important to me because I really do get excited by other people's success. I do. It's part of my bliss to see someone. Like, I'm a coach, right? So I'll sit down with someone. They might be a little gray, seriously, when they first sit down with me. And by the end of the session, they have a pink glow to their face. And I've done this before. I've actually taken the hand mirror and said, look at your face. It's just gotten so pink and so glowing. How can you recreate that for yourself when I'm not here and be your own portable coach, et cetera, et cetera. But kvelling, being happy for someone else's success, how does this factor into your whole mission, Lisa, and this book?
Well, I'm going to ask you a question. How do you feel when you find out a friend, a colleague hasn't told you about something that's joyful or a piece of success? How do you feel when they don't tell you?
Disappointed.
And there's been research done. I didn't conduct this research, but I pulled it into my group, my book, because it's called Joy. We share the joy. And when we don't share joy, people are offended. And when we don't share our successes, people are offended. When they find out later that you did this and that, and you didn't tell them because you're afraid of bragging and self-promotion,
right,
people
right.
are upset. And so that's where we need to talk about our successes, because otherwise people are going to be upset at you if you don't. But it's that important that we talk about our successes so that they yes. know, because otherwise it's disappointing to find totally. Out later. Like, why didn't you share that with me that you're on this great radio show with Judy? And, you know, like, hey, like, we want to know these things about you.
When you're auditioning for something or trying to get a job or an agent or a TED talk or anything, and you say it's important to know what makes you remarkable. And this starts by positioning yourself as different. I love some of the questions you suggest to find out what it is about us that makes us each remarkable. Some of these questions are, what's unusual about me? What are my achievements? What impresses me? Can you say more about how to position yourself as remarkable? And how do you get to know your own superpowers?
Oh, Judy, when I do this exercise with organizations, it's so, you know, people start to write like three things and it's like, I'm a great mom, I'm a great aunt, I'm a great grandmother. And we often go to the family things. Family is good, but we don't go into actually who we are and our deeper values and our deeper thinking. Yeah. And so I often try to get people to not just do the typical things, right? I'm a good daughter, a good aunt. I want them to go into a deeper space. And then it becomes a little bit more challenging because we haven't thought about ourselves in those ways. And so fill a page of all the prompts. And when we go through them, then people can say, oh yeah, that's it. That's where I am. That's who I am. That's part of who I am. Instead of just my role and my identity that's external, right. It's part of who I am. And it really does make a difference when you start to put them all together, and you can even group them together and say, well, what is it about me? That can then help inform the pillars that you need when you talk about yourself. Because, you know, right away, people want to talk about social media with the book. It's not a social media game. It's so much deeper than social media, but it will set you up if you choose to go down that route. But it's having that understanding that we are all remarkable. So when people fill out their sheet, then I say, who wants to share? And then I can tell you how many people cry. People read this list. It's so cathartic for them to have that 5, 10, whatever amount of time we have, and they read it. I'm getting actually shivers right now, but they read this list and then so many people start to cry. So it's a big hug time, and then people come together, and then it's like, I didn't know that about you. And I want to give you that opportunity. And it becomes a beautiful thing. And even if you're not doing it with a group, but you're having that time where you reflect on yourself through the exercise, you might tear up because you are so awesome and you have all these things. And then you can start to share all of it because you've brought it to the surface of your awesomeness. And so we're all remarkable in some way. And it's really just spending the time, a little bit of time, working through how you are remarkable.
I was inspired by your book because I've been reading it for the last couple of days. And you talk so much about letting others be illuminated. But this morning I wrote on Instagram, to inspire people, don't show them your superpowers, show them theirs. And you do that every day. Right?
Yeah. You know, I really believe the more we shine the spotlight on other people, it comes back to us. So I do want you to get out there. It's not a pass for you not to brag and self-promote. But when you shine the spotlight on others, the light comes back to you. It's just the way it is. And so I think that's where we can give more compliments. We can talk about other people who aren't in our rooms more. We can bring more people to whatever table it is. We can make those tables. We can smash the tables, but we can come together more in community and cheer each other on and celebrate each other, become each other's brand ambassadors. It's so weird how this world works because you and I have so many people in common and we're just meeting today, but that's how this world is. And it's becoming smaller and smaller and smaller.
I want to ask you about your dad, because your dad once told you when you were in TV news, sparkle, Lisa, sparkle. And I think you definitely took his advice. Maybe you had a natural sparkle. He just said, show it, share it. Tell us about your dad and what that means to you and how that's helped inform your career and your work and what you're sharing with the world. Before we hear more about Lisa's father's advice on how to sparkle, we're going to go on a short commercial break. We'll be right back. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by CREATE, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
CREATE is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. CREATE is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, CREATE is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. CREATE has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? CREATE Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about CREATE Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We're back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio. Before we hear about how Lisa's dad gave her advice on how to sparkle and how it shaped her career, I want to thank our segment sponsor, Ashford Cleaners. This segment is sponsored by Ashford Cleaners. Ashford Cleaners is Toronto's best dry cleaner with hand-finished detailing, laundry, tailoring, you name it, and they'll take care of it while always going the extra mile to make sure that you leave with a smile on your face. They also offer you free pickup and delivery, so it's easy to keep your entire closet ship shape and ready to go. Thanks, Ashford. You're the best. Before the break, Lisa, I asked you about your father and the advice he gave you, which was sparkle, Lisa, sparkle. Can you tell us all about your dad and how his advice helped elevate your career?
So funny, my dad used to watch a lot of news. He'd watch, that's the thing, that's one of the reasons why I went into news is because they're always watching this TV, so, and always news. You know, he grew up in the era of Shirley Temple and Shirley Temple's mom. So Shirley Temple was a child actress. She was like 5 years old, tap dancing, but she really made a difference during that era because it was a really dark period in the world. Yes. And her mother used to say to her, "Sparkle, Shirley, sparkle," before she would go on. And you could see it in her eyes and you could see it in her whole face. It's almost like a little bit of a mini meditation to say, get in that right frame of mind.
Nice.
Here's where I am. And then you have it and you remember that. I think my dad would say that because TV news was often really, I would often be doing sad, very, very sad things, tragic. I was always running to the tragedy, the chemical fire, the, you know, whatever. And so when I had those opportunities, I still wanted to, well, I had to convey the news in a tone, but I still wanted to sparkle that I'm a human telling these stories.
Yeah.
And what is my essence? How am I bringing that forward to this camera? Because a camera can be a really, if you're watching us anywhere else, but it's like, it can be a really dead medium. You have to bring it and help warm it up a little bit. And so making sure that I brought that sparkle to everything that I was doing was really important. So I've always tucked that away in the back of my brain, especially before I go on stages, to make sure that I'm going to add that little je ne sais quoi, that little to make things.
Nice.
We all need a little more sparkle in our lives.
We do. So, absolutely.
Yes, so sparkle, Judy, sparkle. It's on to you now. Just put it around. Yeah.
It's so great. You also tell such great stories in the book. I love the Veuve Clicquot, that champagne Veuve Clicquot story about the woman who took over her husband's company, I believe, after he passed and made it into a resounding success. She acted with audacity as well. She had sparkle, and that champagne had sparkle, but she also had audacity, which is a big part of your book. What is it to you, audacity, and how can people learn how to act with more audacity?
Yeah, I love that story. So whenever you drink champagne, you can thank the Widow Clicquot for champagne, essentially. And it's at the end of the book because it's a rallying cry for you to have that boldness that is inside of you and be bold and to let other people know. It's so easy for all of us to go back to being a hidden gem. So that's why we'll go through two different states. You'll go from, I'm being bold and I'm being audacious and I'm sharing this and I'm doing these things, then to retreat to say, maybe it's too much. I'm going to not be a hidden gem. We're going to go back and forth. And that's why you're going to pick up the book and come back to it again and again. Having audacity is that boldness that we need when we try to do things that are that next level and the next level and even bigger and bolder than we ever thought possible. Because that's what our lives can do when we can step into bragging and self-promotion, because those opportunities start to come to us. And that's the difference. So that's the cry for being audacious. Audacious is a great word too, that audacity.
So
but it's also, you have the audacity to do that. It's like, yes, I do. I can do this and I can be bold about it and win more opportunities because of it.
It's so great. So there's so much that we can talk about. I know you want to talk a little bit about visibility economy. You've defined something in the book called the visibility economy. And my understanding for our listeners that don't know what this is that the visibility economy refers to an environment, especially online and on social media. So on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, where attention and being seen are valuable currencies. What exactly does this mean for individuals and organizations?
Judy, wouldn't you wish people would just come and find you on your tiny piece of the internet, or find you and, you know, hire you and know that you're the best meditation coach, you know, that they know this already? How come they don't know, right? We have to be seen and heard in this economy that we live in now. Before, we were cogs in the machine in the factory era. In the agricultural era, people knew because we were in such small areas. But now, you know, we're all over the place. We might be in our basements. We might be working beside somebody, you know, in downtown Toronto, but we don't know much about each other. So that's where we need to put it out and let people know how we are of service. And so the people that are seen and heard are going to win. They're also going to win the future, because as we move more and more into AI, AI is looking to see who's saying these things, who's doing these things, who is the expert. And so that's where you don't want to get lost in the visibility economy, where people don't know that you did the work.
Right.
In my research, so many people said their work had been stolen by other people. Other people had taken credit for it.
Wow.
in this near future, you need to make sure that you are getting credit for your work and not just letting it be, oh, it was a team effort. I say in a lot of my speeches, you know, there is no I in team, but there is I in credit. Because we just want to just give it to the team all the time, which we do. We give our work away. We get money for that. We get remunerated. But we also have to know our role in the effort. Because when things come and things get shaking up, what are you doing here? What is your contribution? And you need to be able to articulate it and also show proof of our successes. And that's where this visibility economy is going to be a big part of how AI moves and how you are seen and stable or successful in this new era.
What would be an example of what that looks like?
So if we're talking about in an organization, it's making sure that people know that you contributed in some way and that when, you know, Peter goes up and gives the presentation and it's like, yay, Peter, you gave, you know, you won this for us. But it's also making sure that Peter acknowledges other people and that you also let other people know how you contributed. And that's why I encourage organizations to have a bragging circle, to encourage bragging so that we know who's doing what. But in the future, is that going to be the way? And so making sure that they know that you did the work. And I think more of us in this economy are going to have to also show our work along the way where it's not just going to be schmoozing. I do think it's going to be still who you know and who knows you, but we need to let people know what we are here to do.
Right. So how does working remotely change the visibility game? We're not in person. We're on screens. Not always. And thank God there's a hybrid thing happening. Thank goodness we're coming back to life. Like our show started off physically at Zoomer Radio in Liberty Village. Then we did a many, many years virtually online. Now we're going back and forth. We're doing some of the in-person and the online. It's lovely, you know, to be in person. But how do you get that visibility when you're online?
Well, a lot of it is making sure that you follow up. And if it's something that you can show up because it's a group thing, show up early. And the host might already have the camera on because they're working through some of their technical issues or they're preparing something. And to have you there, a friendly face, is often a joy. So making sure that you're showing up for things. One of the things I tell a lot of people is please put your camera on. You might be the only person with your camera on, but it's enthusiasm. Showing up with enthusiasm really does count nowadays. And then follow up, send a thank you note for whatever it is. And it doesn't have to be for the host. It could be somebody else who you knew contributed behind the scenes and let them know what you were thinking about it. So we have to make sure that we're putting in the effort when we're hybrid or just remote, that we are there and being seen and putting that time in to have a wee little coffee break with that person. So, you know, it is incredibly important for people to have FaceTime, and it can be on camera or it can be in person, but it's incredibly important to do the work and make the effort so that you can stay top of mind when any opportunity comes up.
Absolutely. So true. There's so much in here. I mean, you have to read the book, everybody. You have to read the book, Bragging Rights, How to Talk About Your Work Using Purposeful Self-Promotion. You have this wonderful quote from Lucille Ball, love yourself first and everything else falls into line. You really have to love yourself to get anything done in this world. Why did you choose to include this quote and what does it mean for you?
I don't want this to be an external validation game. This is not about, hey, great job, Lisa. It's not about that at all. It's about knowing who I am, knowing that I am of service and that I have something to share. And so that's where I want people to brag to themselves first. Start with yourself. Writing down what makes you remarkable, like we talked about, having your brag file, that's just for you. And then it just reinforces who you are and what you believe in. And it also gives you that red thread to the future. And then you don't need the external validation as much. Yes, we want people to see and hear us and know to amplify our messages. We do need that nowadays. But I'm not going to look for that external validation that, oh, no one liked my post or no one complimented me on something. We all like likes. We all like engagement. But keep going despite those. I have a story in the book about that where a person thought nobody was reading her posts. And then she ended up getting clients from it. And she has very few followers and very few likes and engagement. But somebody was consistently reading her work and then followed up. And it doesn't have to be a social media thing. It can be within your office and your organization.
Totally.
But social media is just an easy example that all of us can see and participate in. And so it's just really making sure that you brag to yourself first and know that you are making a difference in some way.
Totally. You know, I love your section on how to self-promote. There's a whole section, self-promotion, and you have to be in the way to get your way. You suggest things like being on social media, which we've been talking about, taking pictures and learning what scripts to use to share your wins. And I love the example of the L'Oreal hair color campaign, where the model in the ad spoke out directly and personally, and the slogan became, "Because I'm worth it." Can you tell us why the "because" in that phrase is such a powerful tool when bragging?
Yeah, well, I would love everyone just to stand in their brag and say whatever brag is. Often we need a little bit of a cushion to brag and self-promote. So brag, when you say the word "because," then you're anchoring it. So yeah. I'll say, you know, "I'm getting these opportunities because," so getting these opportunities might sound like a brag to somebody, like whatever it is, or "I'm winning this award." And then I can say "because," insert word, and then it falls on something. So that's not just me saying, "Hey, I'm so great," but it's me having that joiner word of "because I'm worth it, because of my team, because of my mentor, because of my education." And then people say, "Oh, there's something to that." The person is layered. It's not just them saying, "Well, I'm awesome." If I say "I'm awesome because Judy's team really supported me," then it's not as bad than me saying, "I'm awesome," right? There's a difference. And the "because" allows it to become
It softens softer, it. Softer. It tempers it. So I'm going to do a little brag here because this is the craziest experience I had the other day. So my yoga studio moved to a new location. And while I was in there, I had done a yoga teacher training there and meditation, which is my thing. And this particular teacher I hadn't seen in years told the whole class, "Judy is great at meditation." And it's funny because sometimes I feel like, oh, is everyone listening to Insight Timer? Is it really working? Da-da. But she went and told this whole class and I had no idea. And then after class, she said, "Can you stay after class?" And I said, "Sure." And she said, "Would you like to write up a 1 hour and or a 30 minute meditation and teach it at this studio?" I was like, "What the heck?" And I said, "Well, you know what's so funny? I did this during COVID for Julie Black. I did something for her company, 100 Strong and Sexy, and I did a 90-minute meditation class in conjunction with someone else. I walk outside of the studio, and who is standing there, all 6'2" splendor of her, in this gorgeous dress, like just, she just got married. She's just like glowing, Julie Black. And I go, "What the heck?" I said, "Julie, oh my God, I just talked to you." She goes, "Yo, you're carrying a yoga mat. Where were you?" So I gave a plug to the studio. And I said, "Guess what? I just mentioned your name after all, you know, like 8 months or something." And she goes, "Well, there's serendipity. You need to do this." Now, who would it, right? It was because of Julie. It was because of this wonderful teacher, Jody. It really was. Seeing me, she actually was the one who got me on Insight Timer. So it was because of Jody and it was because of Julie, but it all the serendipity happened after that.
And that's where it's great to have our bragitude and have the gratitude for other people, because we know we are here built on the shoulders of giants, as has been written, and that we know that we get help along the way from our friends and our colleagues and the people that are supporting us. And so, again, it's such a small world and you never know. It's all serendipity. You never know what you're going to walk into.
Totally.
And that's where being prepared for the opportunities and letting people know that you are prepared. Like, they see that through you. They saw that you were already doing good things. And then now that teacher lit up the room of, hey, we need to hire Judy. And then it's just going to keep cascading. But imagine if you held your genius so close to you that you didn't share it. You didn't share that spark.
Yes, yes.
And then
yes.
You wouldn't have run into Julie or had Julie's opportunities. Like, so that's what so many people do. They're that hidden gem. They're so afraid to say, "I should do the meditation. I should lead this. I should," you know, but we don't want to necessarily, we need to do that. Like, we need to start with the bragging and self-promotion to be able to get the opportunities that we deserve.
Yeah.
But it starts with just taking some small steps to
small
move forward.
Steps.
I'm so glad for you.
Thank you so much. It was so cool. Now I have to go do it. Now I have to go write it. But small steps, you're right. Courage and getting outside your comfort zone. And sometimes taking a deep breath. There's a question that we ask everyone at the end of the show. And of course, we're going to ask it to you. What is bliss for Lisa Bray?
You know what? I just love the state of flow that I get into when I'm really creating. I love coming up with new ideas along the lines of what my body of work is. And I find bliss in that. And I know it sounds so weird because I should say, well, I have two then. It's when I'm in the state of flow, I love it. And the ideas are just coming. There's something just like magic that happens to me. The second state, and because I'm in cottage country right now, is I have a jet ski. I'm not a noisy person with it, but I just love being on it and being on the lake in a wide open area. There's no other boats around and seeing how beautiful our country is and just being free on it. I always want to go, woohoo. It's just the most magical feeling that I feel. So it's being connected to nature. I know I'm on a machine, but it's just that vibe that I get when I'm on this, this machine. And then also when I'm in workflow, I just love my work. When I'm on the stage doing my keynotes and workshops, I feel like I'm at home. I feel so much like at home when I'm there. So people often say, well, weren't you excited? I'm like, I feel at home there. It's home for me when I'm out there telling people about my work. So thank you for letting me share that.
That's so wonderful. Well, you're a real gift to the world. And it's so funny because this is all about what's your purpose. And I think you really define your purpose. But it's so interesting that your purpose is inextricably tied with giving back, with being outward focused, with allowing other people to find their spark and their calling and what lights them up.
Thank you. Thank you. I love that. That was such a gift.
That was great. What is the best way, Lisa, for people to connect with you, get in touch with you on social media, and of course, to get a copy of your beautiful book, Bragging Rights, How to Talk About Your Work Using Purposeful Self-Promotion? It's great, guys. You got to get this book.
Thank you. Thanks for giving me that promotion there for sure. You know, my website, Lisa Bragg, so BRAGG.com, is a place for all things. And I have a newsletter that I send out infrequently, but it always has some tips in it and what I'm thinking of now. And I also have a blog that I write. I'm also, if you find me on LinkedIn, Lisa Bragg, I will definitely follow you back. And I'm trying some of the different things too. So, you know, you want to just reach out to different people on different platforms. So I am starting on TikTok, that Lisa Bragg, and I'm on Instagram too, at that Lisa Bragg too. So it's like that Lisa Bragg. Oh, that Lisa Bragg. I'm just trying to find people where they are and reach more audiences. Cause I do believe, you know, while we want to be of service to, you know who we are of service to, I know this book needs to be in so many people's hands. And that's why I'm committed to giving it lift for a long time, because it's one of those books that we're going to all need for a while. So that's where I am. And you can buy the book wherever you buy books. You know, you can go to Indigo. You can also go to your typical Amazon and get it. It's also available in print. It's available as an audiobook and an ebook. And it's also available at many, many libraries. And if you want it from your library, you can ask them and hopefully they'll bring it in too. But it's great to have it out in the world and see people. Please send me a picture if you get the book too. I love seeing pictures.
So great. I even love there's a chapter at the end of the book called Bonus Material, Extra Tips for How to Self-Promote and Exercise Your Bragging Rights. Ask for a review. Reviews are worth gold to everyone. So I'm going to say to you guys, when you get this book, Bragging Rights, send a review to Amazon or Indigo or to the smaller bookstore or to wherever it is. Send a review about what you love about the book. I think I'm going to do that later on this evening. So
you know what I'm going to challenge your audience to? Give a review to the show. Give it a 5-star. Give it a thumbs up. Like, do that on all of those things, because it does really make a difference in getting it into a new person's hands. You know, we all go to those reviews. Let's have more positive reviews about all the great work that we're doing. So awesome. I do challenge the audience to go and do it. I will too. So
that's so great. Thank you so much. Really, thank you for being on the show today. It was wonderful to have you here. Each week, we spotlight a fabulous person like Lisa Bragg on the program who is living their bliss. So if you're an author, artist, yoga, meditation, or mindfulness expert, or really anyone who has found and is following their bliss, we'd love to hear from you. Write to us at fyb@findyourbliss.com. As you know, we also love to feature singers, songwriters, and musicians on the show. Reach out to us as well. What did you love about today's program? Write to us. And for those of you who don't know, I'm also the Bliss Coach. That means I help you get unstuck, find your passion and purpose, what lights you up, gain clarity, and find your bliss. That's what I do. And I'm also on Insight Timer, the number one free meditation app. All you have to do is search up Judy Liebrack. And of course, you can always follow us at The Bliss Minute on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. I want to thank Lisa Bragg for being on the show today, our Finding Your Bliss team, and everyone here at Zoomer. And of course, a big thank you to our sponsor, the Create Fertility Center, and to our segment sponsor, Ashford Cleaners. For everyone here, I'm Judy Liebrack, reminding you all to take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.